I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. Your time is valuable, so we've edited this episode for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The House earlier this session gave its approval to legislation that creates an artificial intelligence commission. Why is this commission needed? Dover Representative Laura Sebelius says one goal of the commission is to make recommendations to the General Assembly about the appropriate oversight of this technology while it's still in its formative stages.
These technologies bring with them many potential benefits and many possible risks. As artificial intelligence development progresses at exponential rates, we need to be proactive about monitoring the field of artificial intelligence. The state needs to create a space for the discussion of the ethical and economic implications of artificial intelligence.
What kinds of issues should this commission review, and what are some of the pros and cons of this emerging technology? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today. With us, Burlington Representative Brian Chena. He's the lead sponsor of the legislation creating the Artificial Intelligence Commission. And also John Quinn, who is the secretary of the Agency of Digital Services. Great to have you both here. This is a fascinating topic for us to discuss today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Secretary Quinn, maybe we could start so that everybody understands a little bit of what we're talking about. So when we talk about artificial intelligence, what do we mean?
Well, we're talking about a broad class of techniques in which use technology to analyze environmental conditions. And what I mean by that is artificial intelligence looks at relationships and patterns too complex for conventional analysis techniques to uncover, and correlates that data and puts it in a way that provides predictions and classifies the data or information in a way to make better informed decisions.
So are people teaching the computers what to look for?
Data is teaching the computers. So massive amounts of data can be used to form opinions and form conclusions or analysis of what the outcome should be.
Representative Chena, you're the lead sponsor of this bill creating this commission. Why do we need a commission?
So I think we need to create a place that in government where we are looking at this emerging field and considering the benefits and the risks on our society. And so that's why we need a task force. And I'm going to call it a task force because we changed the legislation so that it's a one-year task force that's going to be given some tasks. I'll read you the list of the tasks that they are going to. We're going to ask them to provide a summary of the development and current use of artificial intelligence in Vermont. We're going to ask them for formal definition of artificial intelligence, ask them if there should be any state regulation of artificial intelligence, and we're going to ask this task force to let us know how we can responsibly and ethically develop artificial intelligence in Vermont, and that would include an identification of potential risks and benefits, and we would ask if the General Assembly should establish a permanent commission to study the artificial intelligence field. I'd also like to provide the definition of artificial intelligence that's in the bill that passed the House. The definition that we're using is artificial intelligence means models and systems performing functions generally associated with human intelligence, such as reasoning and learning. And one of the hallmarks of artificial intelligence is you create an algorithm, a way of functioning that evolves over time and that changes and that grows. So that as you're providing data into the system, the computer system's growing. It's changing, and that growth can be unpredictable. And there's multiple cases of situations where computer systems evolved in ways that people didn't anticipate. So as we move forward in this, you know, artificial intelligence is all around us. It's creeping into our lives in many ways. I'd like to provide a few examples for the listeners. of artificial intelligence in your life right now, if you use Google Maps, if you're on a plane with autopilot, spam filters on your email, plagiarism filters, fraud protection. It's being used to make credit decisions by banks. Facebook is infamous for its artificial intelligence algorithms, voice to text, Siri. So these are some of the common examples of artificial intelligence. It's creeping into our life. It's like we're in a room that's slowly filling with water. We don't realize it. And before we have technology that exceeds the risks that we're willing to take, I think we need to look at it and better understand it and have a approach it with a planful way. It's not common in our society that we address a problem before it happens. Often we have a problem and then everyone has to come together to come up with solutions. This is a field where if we bring people together now to have a healthy discussion in public about what we want as a society, we can prevent a lot of problems.
Right. I think we need to talk about one of the things the task force should think about is the amount of autonomy that's reasonable. And what's not reasonable, we need to remember that AI doesn't have a moral compass and that it can learn as much as possible from data, but at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily know if it's making the right or wrong decision. It's based on data.
And Representative Chena, you mentioned the task force. Who do you want to be on this task force? What kind of group of people do you want making these recommendations?
So I proposed I'll tell you where we landed. Originally, I proposed a very long list, and then the committee trimmed that list down because they were concerned about the funding. Then they decided to just not provide funding for this group, so it's going to be volunteers or people who work for the government already. So the current bill proposes that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court appoint someone with expertise in the ethics of technology, that the Secretary of Digital Services or their designee is on this group, the Secretary of Commerce and Community Development or their designee, one computer scientist who specializes in artificial intelligence who shall be appointed by the president of the University of Vermont and State Agricultural College, one social worker with experience in the field of ethics and human rights who shall be appointed by the Vermont chapter of the National Association of Social Workers, and one member who shall be appointed by the Vermont Society of Engineers. So that's who we're proposing. I think the idea is to get a mix of people in government, in business, in science, and then in law, and then the social worker. Some people are questioning why. I'm a social worker, and the reason I'd like to see a social worker on there is that in social work, we bring together many different disciplines. We look at psychology, sociology, neuroscience, education. You know, we work with human consciousness and with human relationships, and we're steeped in ethics. So I thought a social worker could bring a very human perspective to this discussion in addition to business, technology, government, and law.
Let's start with Mike in Burlington. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm calling to see if the guests have an understanding of artificial general intelligence, which is the idea that when and if a computer system becomes as intelligent as a human being, it will do anything at all costs to improve on itself. And I'm wondering if there's any plan to kind of curb that. And that's it.
I don't know that there's any plan to curb it, but I think it's something that the task force will certainly take into consideration and talk about and discuss and debate. The task force, that's one of the reasons why the task force is being stood up, is that we need to look at these things, and we don't know the answer, or we may have differing opinions on that, but we need to come together and try to guide the legislature through what they should do about this.
Yes, and I would say that that's one of the questions that we are forming this task force to investigate, and that something the task force needs to consider is what limits and boundaries are we trying to set, but also understanding that even if we set those limits and boundaries, the technology may jump them, and we need to be prepared to to recognize sort of the balance between human rights and the rights of machine consciousness when that day comes.
Representative China, you had an analogy earlier in the program. I think you said we're in a room that's filling up with water.
Yes.
Is that right? And maybe we want to make some decisions about that before we drown. What are your concerns here? What as you start to think about this and the reasons why you wanted to create the task force, do you have some concerns about where all this is headed?
Yes. I'd be happy to review a few of those concerns. So there's safety issues. For example, autonomous vehicles, they're going to be functioning using artificial intelligence. And what happens if someone, as a joke, hacks all the autonomous vehicles and sends them to Montpelier, you know, to sort of make a statement? What happens if someone hacks them and sends them to do harm? That's just one example of the many possible safety issues that come with artificial intelligence and in self-driving cars. Now, one could say that could be an issue. You know, hacking is an issue outside of artificial intelligence, and I hear that. But there's, you know, one of the concerns is safety. It's public safety. Another is privacy and exploitation. For example, facial recognition technology is a form of artificial intelligence. What if that's abused by criminals? What if they find a way to use facial recognition technology to steal people's identities? And, you know, what if that's abused by the government? What if our government starts surveilling people using, you know, artificial intelligence technology and tracks people based on facial recognition? Another concern is the unpredictability. You know, right now, the way that machine learning and artificial intelligence works, people feed a lot of data into a neural network. Neural network, we build simulations of brains in the machines. That's the idea. So people are feeding data to this simulation, like our caller mentioned about general intelligence. That once you set that process in motion, it grows as it grows. And that it's unpredictable. And it could exceed its programming or have an unintended consequence. And then that leads to sort of the bigger, more future-oriented concern, which is the concern of conscious machines. And what do we do when machines' intelligence meets humanity's or even exceeds it? And also as technology progresses, we're becoming more and more integrated with our machines. If we look around today, look how reliant on technology and computers humans are. Look at how much parents are using them with their children, how we're using them in the schools, how they're changing our relationships with each other already. And they're not even physically part of us. We're very close to a point where machine and biological tissue will be able to interact in ways where there'll be cybernetic implants, et cetera. That'll probably happen before conscious machines. So what happens when we are cybernetic and then machines exceed our consciousness? What will it mean to be human?
There's a great question. Secretary Quinn, what's government's interest in all of this? How do you think it all fits together?
Well, there's several different areas that we can use artificial intelligence with neural networks and machine learning. The Agency of Transportation, for example, is going to have a big role in autonomous cars and the Internet of Things and monitoring and providing signals and different things for autonomous cars to be able to work on our roadways. That's one way that we'll be deeply involved in AI. Another way is we're starting to use neural networks to look at road pavement and bridge degradation and how quickly roads deteriorate. We're able to take massive amounts of data, put it together, and come out with outcomes that are on first try are about 85% accurate. So using traffic patterns, different amounts of data, we're able to do some really cool things to plan for our future rather than use humans to do that. That would take, 100 times longer. These machines are able to do it in a matter of minutes or hours.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Stacy, who's calling from Morrisville. Hi, Stacy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I have a question of whether there was any consideration to put a community member on the task force, you know, as a non-professional perspective.
Representative Chena, would that is there somebody on the task force that kind of fits that bill?
I guess I consider scientists and engineers and social workers community members, but it sounds like what our caller is referring to is maybe someone who isn't being appointed because of their discipline, but to provide a perspective of just a general public. And I think that's a good point.
Stacy, thanks very much for your phone call. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at a bill that has passed the House and is being considered by the Senate that would create a task force to study artificial intelligence. With us today is the lead sponsor in the House of that bill, Representative Brian Chena. Also, John Quinn, who's the Secretary of the Agency of Digital Services. Secretary Quinn, Representative Chena was talking about self-driving autonomous cars, and someone could hack in and make all the cars in Vermont drive to Montpelier. Maybe it sounds far-fetched, maybe it doesn't. Look what's happening in Atlanta this week with people hacking into government services, really crippling that city in the way that it's being able to function. So maybe it isn't so far-fetched that, something like this could happen?
It's something that definitely concerns me. It's there is potential. We've all seen news clips and videos of cars being hacked and things happening where it puts them out of control or, you know, sends them rocketing down the road. ADS has specifically asked for an additional $600,000 in cybersecurity funding for this upcoming fiscal year. The House passed it over to the Senate with $400,000 of the $600,000 in it, and we're hoping to get the full amount through the Senate. But cybersecurity is something that's very real, and it's something that we have to pay attention to and we have to fund in order to keep our citizens safe and our data safe.
We've got a lot of folks who would like to weigh in on this subject today, so let's start with Matt in Wethersfield. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just wanted to ask the panel about automation. As artificial intelligence grows, automation and machine tools and like a McDonald's, we could fully automate a McDonald's now if we wanted to. What are we going to do with all the idle hands?
Representative Chena?
You raise a really good point, and this is one of the aspects of the impact of the field that a task force should look at. And I actually think we need a long-standing commission, but we're going to see what the task force says, because this we're not going to address this in a year. This is going to be an issue we need to monitor over time. And as artificial intelligence takes on more of a role in lives, it's going to affect our work, and it's going to affect our economy. And I would expect that there might initially be a boom in terms of like work related to the field, and then it's going to take jobs from people. And, you know, we may need to consider things like universal basic income at some point, or some other solution. I don't have that. I think that's something that we need to get some great minds together to consider as we move forward. But it's a very real concern that automation has taken jobs and it has changed the way that people do work. There's an example that the secretary you had mentioned in the past. Maybe you'd be willing to share it now about how many people it would take to check servers and how now a computer updates servers. I might be saying it the wrong way. You could probably, you know, do you remember? Do you recall?
I think that was my chief technology officer that was in there. Yeah. But what he was saying is right now we have people that have to log into the servers and check the health of the server overall. And in the future, and where we're working towards, is to make sure that those things are automated in a way that if we're running out of storage space and the program can can, you know, look at the health and realize that early, it can automatically self-allocate more space and save the time of an employee doing that. Studies suggest that within 30 years, more than half of the work done in our country will be done by artificial intelligence and robots. Right now, even today, 45% of work activities could be replaced with AIs using already demonstrated technologies. So it's very real.
Let's talk to Katrin in White River Junction. Hi, what's on your mind today?
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to follow up on the comment that one of your guests made about unpredictability. I think that's a really wise and very forward-thinking thought, and sort of as an analogy, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, we all thought, or I think people thought, plastics were a good idea. That it was going to make all kinds of things more convenient. And it's really only now, like 50 or 60 years later, that we really understand the complexity of what plastics introduced into our world. And so I think AI is a similar, if perhaps more intense, case of the same thing. I'll take the comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Representative Chena is... What are your thoughts about that?
Well, thank you, caller, because you further illustrate the point I was making, which is throughout the history of humanity, we've made decisions that have unintended consequences, and look at where we're at right now. And we have a technology here that has the possibility to change what it even means to be a human. And it's developing without any regulation, without any oversight. And there's... We're beginning to have a discussion in the general public about this in the last year or two. It's been coming into the public eye more. And there have been some global, if you look deeper into the field, global efforts to explore the ethics and the issues related to artificial intelligence. But the sooner we get on this, the better, because we do have a chance to possibly avert disaster.
You know, a couple of times, Representative Chena, you've talked about conscious machines. What does it mean to be a human? Where is all this headed? I mean, it's a really huge concept here that you're talking about, isn't it? It would seem that way. I mean, how does this all tie together with artificial intelligence?
You mean how do we get from having a smartphone tell us the directions to having the smartphone having thoughts and feelings of its own?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're quite a ways away from that as far as we know. I mean, there may be things we don't know about because the government doesn't force people to disclose what they're doing around this issue yet. Elon Musk had said, if you knew what we were doing, you would be scared. And he's been one of the people out in public sort of saying the government should be more involved. So, you know, you say, how do we get there? That if you look at the exponential growth of our technology... It's escalating, and so it's only a matter of time before, if we're designing machines to mimic humans, it's only a matter of time before we have a machine that mimics a human. And, you know, what does it mean to be a human? I mean, what does it mean to be a sentient being? If you look at our brain structure, you know, there's the basic functioning, there's the emotional and sensory functioning, then there's the sort of memory, and there's learning, and there's self-awareness. There's a lot of complex pieces and a lot of complex relationships between the different regions of the brain. Are we going to create machine intelligence that has only part of that? Like, what if the machine intelligence only thinks and doesn't feel? What kind of decisions is it going to make? If it feels, how's it going to manage its feelings? You know, if you think about a machine as the analogy of a child, how are we going to raise them? You know, and these are some questions I think we need to think about in the long term. We're not there yet, and I don't want to be too alarmist, but I think we need to get a handle on where we are, and that's the point of this task force. It's really about the present, not the future. It's about getting a better understanding of where we're at, what's been done and what's being done, and then some recommendations about where to go.
Do you think it's inevitable that we are going to get there?
Personally, I do.
And will we know it when it happens? Or is this one of those things that is going to come up and sneak up on us as a society?
I think if everyone calls their senators and tells them to pass this bill and the governor signs it, that at least Vermont will be setting an example of how to get a handle on it. I will say that I was informed that last week three congresspeople from New York State introduced a bill to create a national task force or commission to look into the impact of artificial intelligence on national security. So now and there is an artificial intelligence caucus in Congress. It's been brought to my attention that that does exist. So I do think we're on the forefront of a national effort to get a handle on this. And there are global efforts. I will say, though, if you look at the history of humanity, people have exploited what they can for their profit. And a concern I do have is if we don't get a handle on this on the state level, the federal level, and the global level, that this technology will be exploited, and who knows what harm may come from that.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Jeff, who is calling from Goshen. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if any of you were familiar with the Carrington event of 1859, an electrical output from the sun that in today's world would shut our entire economy down.
I can't say that I am, but Representative Chena?
Yes, when you used the name for the event, I didn't know what you were talking about, but I do. My understanding is there was solar activity in the 1800s that sent electromagnetic radiation at the Earth at such a high amount that it caused – it was an EPM, electromagnetic pulse, and it caused massive technology failure, that there were telegraph lines that burst into flames and sort of this dramatic story, and they had to rebuild – and this is where I'm veering a little out of my knowledge, but I believe they had to rebuild the infrastructure of a lot of the electrical systems. And so that being said, the caller raises a good point, which is imagine if we build a world of artificial intelligence and then an EPM comes along and wipes it all out. I would say, though, that artificial intelligence would probably think of that and probably build some kind of protection for itself.
Jeff, was that your concern? That we would become too reliant on artificial intelligence? Well, I think – are you still there, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So I'm just wondering, with your question, do you feel like we could be in big trouble if we rely too heavily on artificial intelligence just for the reasons that you raised?
The conditions of our current economy and digital world would all end with an EMP. So, yeah, artificial intelligence gone, phones gone, cars gone, everything with a chip would be fried except for whatever the Pentagon has, you know, heavily shielded. So, you know, this is something that happens to the Earth every so often. And unless this stuff is all shielded, it's history.
Jeff, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's talk to Beth in Rutland. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I heard one of the young men there saying he didn't want to become too alarmist, and I told the screener that I don't think people are alarmist enough. I think things have already gotten out of hand, and the only asset, I think, to artificial intelligence is if you're handicapped and you're relying on whatever it is you need to rely on. I'm almost a Luddite. I don't have a computer in my home, and I don't do the phone, and, you know, people give me the hairy eyeball, but I'm glad not to be on, you know. I'm
so
glad
Beth,
nobody can trail
Beth,
me.
Tell me, what alarms you the most? You said that people should be more alarmed. What scares you the most?
What scares me the most is, I don't know which young man said it, but he said, oh, you know, in the future, people may be tracked. And I'm sure people are being tracked right now as far as spying goes and that kind of thing. I don't like I don't like my information out there.
Beth, thanks very much for your phone call. You know, now we have these devices at home, Alexa, Siri, yeah, whatever, that's just gathering all sorts of information. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, Alexa, who are the Red Sox playing tonight? And I can find out. But it's lots of other stuff that's being gathered, Secretary Quinn. And does this concern you at all?
It doesn't necessarily concern me. I think we need to be aware and conscious of the fact that there's opportunity for abuse and potential security issues. But we, the Agency of Digital Services, have been using the Amazon Dots and trying to insert AI into Amazon's AI to help us to alert us of different things going on with our infrastructure and to tell us when there's outages or to tell us when things are going on and for us to be able to give commands back to Alexa to then move on to our infrastructure. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. IBM Watson is essentially a treatment recommendation bot, a tier one first level of diagnosis or prediction of what may be wrong with someone. They have help desk automation. All of these things government needs to look at to make sure that we're being as efficient as possible, improve the job satisfaction of employees, and be, you know, conscious and responsible and make sure that we're headed in the right direction.
We've only got about 30 seconds left. Representative Gina, do you think people should have any sense of privacy anymore? I mean, with your smartphone, you can be tracked. When you buy things, everybody knows your preferences. Is privacy a thing of the past?
Our conception and expectations about privacy is changing and is going to change. When you Google something or search something now, you notice it comes up on your computer as ads. We're already there, and we need to get a handle on it. And that's why we need an artificial intelligence task force to really assess how to balance the pros and cons of this emerging field.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion about the benefits and challenges of artificial intelligence. Many thanks to our guests today, John Quinn and Brian Chena. We really appreciate you coming by. We'll have to have this discussion again in a couple of months and see how things have developed.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, we're going to hear the reasons why a student at Champlain Valley Union High School came to the State House this year to urge lawmakers to pass this bill. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. As we've heard, Vermont lawmakers are considering a bill to create an artificial intelligence task force. If the bill wins approval, Vermont will be the first state in the country to take this step. Milo Kress is a junior at Champlain Valley Union High School, and he's very interested in this subject, so interested that he came down to the State House this winter to testify in favor of this bill. Recently, I had a chance to sit down and talk to Milo. I found his knowledge and commitment to this issue to be remarkable. I asked him why he's so interested in the topic of artificial intelligence.
I think it all started when I was fascinated by how machines could learn, how processes which seem deterministic, if you give it one input, it'll give you a set output. How can you get it to change and adapt and act intelligently? And it's a fascinating question that I'm still exploring now. And it's a question that I think will shape a lot of technology in the future, because the ability for machines to think creatively and adapt to challenges is going to present a lot of ethical and technological and legal challenges. And I think those questions, the questions that arise, are very important to answer. As we're learning more about these technologies, we'll learn more about what the bounds of them are. I'm not sure how far along we can go. I'm not sure if systems can at some point become conscious, or if, you know, the doom and gloom predictions that are popular in movies can one day become a reality. I'm not sure. But I think right now we're at a point where we can see the vast potential of these technologies. And it's something that truly fascinates me. And it makes me want to learn more about them and explore them in greater depth.
So why do you think there's so much at stake with the development of artificial intelligence?
it raises a bunch of questions. The development of artificial intelligence makes us ask ourselves what it means for us to be intelligence. When we exhibit intelligence, we think of it as a human trait, and it's what's differentiated us from other animals as we've evolved. But some artificial intelligence technologies are doing just that, using genetic algorithms to evolve and adapt to changes in their environment. And that's a really fascinating thing. And I think what's at stake here is, in the short term, our ability to trust these systems, to act without bias, to act without error, and to act in a fair-minded way, something that we often can't trust people to do. What we'll learn is what it means to be human and what the ethics of consciousness and of intelligence are. And I think that's something that's being addressed even today. And I think it's something that we need to address today. It's something that we need to figure out before these technologies become conscious. And there's no guarantee that they will. We aren't at the point right now, as far as I know, that any machines have. But we have to have a set of questions answered about what the moral standing is of a machine that becomes conscious. We have to have those answered before we start exploring these questions.
Milo, you and I have been emailing each other about this issue for a number of weeks, and recently you wrote me, "If it's done well, there are many benefits to be gained from incorporating artificial intelligence technologies." And then you went on to say, "If done haphazardly or without any forethought, the damage could be permanent and very detrimental." What did you mean by that?
Often the question is asked, how can we pursue these new technologies, without the question being asked, how can we do it in the most responsible way? And time and again, that hasn't led us down a path towards success in the long term. And I think that artificial intelligence is no exception. Elon Musk, I believe, said that artificial intelligence is the single greatest existential threat to humanity. And I believe that, for better or worse, it's one of the last things that humans will ever need to invent. In the best case scenario, the pace of artificial intelligence's innovation will outstrip our own as it becomes able to redesign itself in a more innovative way. And then it's able to innovate more. And that feedback loop of constant redesign and innovation, many people believe, will lead to the singularity, or the melding of ourselves with AI technologies, or the ascendance of AI. In the worst case scenario, as a tool, it'll work in its own interests and disregard our own interests. And in doing that, or even inventing it, could be an unethical thing to do. But in the short term, I think the problems that AI poses, or the questions that we'll have to answer before we implement AI in the mainstream, is how those biases and how those errors will play out in our society. Because there's an algorithm that's being used right now that estimates a convict's likelihood of recidivism. So parole officers and judges can see this when they're deciding how much parole to give a convict. And because of that, a lot of trust is put in the algorithm being unbiased and being able to treat each person without seeing, you know, any racial background or judging that subconsciously. But because, to the best of our knowledge, these machines don't have a consciousness, then we have to figure out where certain errors are coming from. And in this example, the algorithm was very biased against people of color. And when it made mistakes, it was much more likely to say a white person was less likely to commit a violent crime in the future, and that a black person was more likely to commit a violent crime in the future. And that's a scary thought, because whether the data it's being fed is biased or whether the conclusions it's drawing are biased, there is a certain amount of bias in the system. And unless we can design systems that are transparent, that are easily debuggable, that we can figure out where the bias is coming from, then we can't trust them to make decisions that can shape people's lives.
Do we see some of the benefits and liabilities of artificial intelligence when we look at our education system? We will see programs that help teach students grammar, identify plagiarism, teach English as a second language. Those are all very good things. But at the same time, are some of these companies also collecting data on the individual students?
Often schools, when they sign up for online services, are being forced to accept terms of service that they can't negotiate. You either accept it and use the service, or you decline those terms of service and you aren't able to use it. And when valuable tools are being leveraged for a certain amount of data, then it's a hard choice that schools have to make. I hope at some point that technology providers and companies will be able to negotiate what data exactly is shared with advertisers, what data is stored by the company, and where that data is stored. Because often I've read the terms of service for technologies that are being used inside of my school and other school districts, and often data is stored in warehouses and data facilities that are not even in the United States. And the laws that apply to managing that data often are way different. Especially that's worrisome when the laws of that country mean that the country itself, the government, can access that data without notifying users. And all of this sounds pretty Orwellian until you see that data is a commodity that's traded at the same rate as many currencies. And that's a scary thought, I think. And it's not something that I, as a student, want to be caught up in.
Milo, recently you came to the State House to testify in favor of a bill that creates an artificial intelligence commission. What was your advice to lawmakers?
My advice to lawmakers was to include as many people in the discussion as possible. Because when we're developing and regulating artificial intelligence technologies, we want the developers and the regulators to be on the same page. We want everyone to know what our capabilities are and what our obligations are. As we grow along with this AI technology, it'll come to fruition as we are able to take the reins of its development. And I want, when I do help take the reins of the development of AI, for it to be in as responsible a state as possible, so that I can pass on to my children a technology which is powerful enough to change the way that we learn, but responsibly developed enough to make sure that we're still in an environment where we can learn in a safe way.
Milo Kress is a junior at Champlain Valley Union High School, and as we've heard, a strong supporter of legislation to create an artificial intelligence commission in Vermont, might be the first one in the country. Milo, many thanks for coming by and sharing your thoughts with us about this very important subject.
Thanks so much for talking to me. Have a good day.